good things. Amen? Amen? Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to two scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. And I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 20. We're going to start with verse 8. 1 Corinthians 10, 4. Now, how many believe that we need to be obedient to the Lord God? How many believe that? And how many of us we need to follow instruction when the Lord speaks? Because sometimes we can follow along, but the Lord wants us to do something in that area. How many follow that? And all the more as we see the day approaching. How many recognize that the world is headed somewhere, but God's going to do incredible things? You know, I share with the first service, I'm really tired of programs telling me what I should believe and how I should live. I'm going to live for God. Are you with me? I don't like it when networks tell you that you need to do this and they get some celebrity, that so-called celebrity, standing up for something that's evil. Can I say this to you? A movie star is just somebody that may be good at a movie, but they're not life-changing individuals. Are you with me? As much as I appreciate athletes, they're good at what they do, but they're not life-changing individuals. Jesus is the only life-changing individual. Are you with me? And we're His people. Hallelujah. So I hold people in honor, but you know what? We need to honor the King of Kings. And what God says we need to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to look at verse 4. 1 Corinthians 10, 4. It says, they all drank of that same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was who? Somebody say Christ. How many of us, the rock that followed them was Christ? Christ was the rock. When you jump down to Numbers chapter 20, make sure you turn there, Numbers 20, verse 8. Moses and Aaron are going to give water to the people. Previous in other chapters, if you're taking notes, in Exodus 17, Moses was brought up to the rock and he says, I want you to strike the rock and water will flow. When we get to Numbers chapter 20, God's going to tell Moses specifically, I want you to speak to the rock. Let me say this to you. Once the rock is smitten, you need to speak to the rock. Jesus died once and for all. Are you following here? He didn't need to be struck again. Oh, are you hearing a word? When it comes to obedience, when God says, listen to me, this is the way to do it, we need to follow. Look at verse 20. Now take the rod, you and your brother Aaron. Gather all the congregation together and speak to the rock before their eyes. It will yield forth water. It will bring water out of the rock and give the congregation and the animals water. It says this, then Moses lifted up his hand and he struck the rod twice with his rod. Now, did God give instruction to speak to the rock? Yes. Previous in Exodus, he said, strike the rock. But once the rock is struck, it's now we speak to it. How many of those many things we do, it needs to be spoken to. Can you add anything to your life in your own ability and skill? How many of those, the Bible says that you can't even change the color of your hair or add anything to your stature. But when it comes to prayer, speaking things brings victory. I asked the first service this. Did Jesus ever have to wrestle with a demon on the ground, beat him up to get victory? Did he ever have to fight and struggle to receive what God has? How many of us, he spoke to the area? Yes or no? Notice that by the spoken word, things happen. How are you going to get things done? Can you fight with principalities and powers with your own power? Can you take them on with guns and bullets? How many of us, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds? God's going to make instruction. Listen to me. Take that staff, you and Aaron, and I want you to speak to the rock. And what does he do? He takes his staff and he strikes it. Now let me say something about speaking to it. How were the worlds created? By the word, true? And God said, let there be, and there it was, true? When it came to us, it's the only time I see in Scripture that he says this, that I fashioned man out of the dust. Then I breathed in him the pneumas, and he became a living soul. God has his personal hand upon us. That's how precious we are. Are you hearing me? That God could have spoke, Adam, come into existence. But he fashioned us like himself. Isn't that awesome? When we think we're worthless, God's made a touch upon our lives. Are you with me? God's fashioned us. He's the creator. For Moses now, he's going to say, hey, I'm going to strike this rock. That's the first area of disobedience. When God calls us to do something, he wants us to call and do it exactly like he did. I have a statement. Once he is smitten, we just need to speak to Christ. Jesus died once and for all. Romans 6 verse 10. Hebrews 7 verse 27. When I look in 1 Peter 3:18, Christ suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. When I look at this rock, the Bible says that Jesus was this water of life. Now picture this. You got 3+ million people coming out of Egypt. They trusted in that system. They were mistreated, don't get me wrong. But the provision of water and food, the natural part, was part of their life. Then God comes along and says, listen to me, I'm taking you, I'm making you a nation. I'm bringing you out into a land. Now you're going to have to walk by faith. Now, do you think it's normal to want food and water and shelter? Yes or no? How many think that's a normal part of life? Do you think the God of the universe knows that? Do you think the God of the universe isn't going to take them out and starve them to death or have them die of exhaustion? How many think God had a provision for them? Yes or no? Yes. See, when we look at God, we have to realize that he does know what he's doing. And just because we may not see every measure doesn't mean he's not working or caring. He speaks to Moses, you're in leadership here. Aaron's alongside, he's the priest. I want you to speak to the rock and water will flow. Previous in Exodus 17, he struck the rock. God allowed it. Strike the rock and water will flow. But now at this portion, how about this? In this portion of maturity in our relationship, we need to speak to this area. Because now Moses, I'll get to this in a minute, you're going to have to walk by faith too. Oh, I'll get to that in a minute. I'll let you ponder that. Somebody say God's good? Oh, God is good. How many are rejoicing over it? Now I want to give you a little side note. You know this little change that we have here? I just turned in to the bank. $391 came in for change. Now that's not a ton, but how many of us, I like throwing that on the building fund. That little bit helps, amen? Another 1,000 came in. We owe now $46,000 and we can pay this place off in full. Amen. We have 6 months to come up with it. How many can believe to that? Amen. How many can speak into that? Amen. My wife and I made a commitment of $1,000. Do you know what? In one check from the insurance company, they gave me $800 back. How many of you can't outgive God? It's like, amen? We need to set a new goal. Without a goal, you'll never hit it. How many can believe this place being paid off? I've already prepared a message already for that day. It's going to be barbecue Sunday or Tuesday or whatever day we do it. Friday or Saturday. I don't know, whatever day. But this barbecue is going to be free for everybody who comes. All you got to do is just show up. Hallelujah. We'll have some special music, some food. And if you don't like any of that, we'll have tofu and some salad. So we'll please everybody. Second area here. Look at verse 10. Numbers 20, verse 10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock and said, "Hear now, you rebels. Must we bring water out of this rock?" Notice, must we bring water out of this rock? See, God wanted him just to speak to the rock. And now he's declaring, should we bring water out of the rock? Listen, we cannot take too much upon ourselves. We can't assume too much glory either. Must we fetch water out of the rock? How about this? To be done by my power and my worthiness? How many times have we said, Lord, I want to do it, but let me shine. How about, Lord, if I don't get to sing the special song, the church will never be blessed. Lord, if I don't get to prophesy, they're not going to hear the word of God. Just because somebody can sing well doesn't mean they're anointed. You could have some great secular singer sing some Christian song and go, wow, that was pretty good. But that doesn't mean the Lord's pleased with it. It's nice that you sung a nice song. It's better than singing something bad. But the truth is that, should we bring water out? Should now notice it starts to bring attention toward self. Now, I'm not trying to criticize Moses or Aaron. I'm not. I'd have been in the same boat. But when God said, speak to the rock, it takes everything out of our hands. Moses should have done this. Spoke to the rock and went, dude, I'm washing with water coming out. How many of us at that moment, I'll get to this in a minute, he would have had to walk by faith. Well, we know in Exodus 17, he struck the rock and it came out. He knew God could do such a thing. But we have to be obedient to what he says. Like for instance, if it got so bad today and all the water dried up, and the Lord said, gather the congregation, speak to the corner of the rock, bring your pitchers, and there you go. How many would bring your pitchers, your gallons, your whatever? You'd expect it to come out. God, listen to me, wanted the people to know that it's me doing it. I'm the one that's bringing the power. How many here have ever went camping before? Okay. How many ever camped and you really didn't have a place to shower? Okay. It's not my favorite. I did a lot of camping when I worked with young people. Now my camping is 5-star hotels, air conditioning, no bugs. I'll go out and meet you, love on you. I'm coming back to something that's like this. Amen? But that's kind of me now. But I've had times where we had 150 youth one time go to a camp, and the only thing we had was a pump. One pump in the whole camp and outhouses. Well, there was a lake not too far away. Well, every day we went to the lake. And we told the people, hey, listen to me, if you want a shower, there's a lake out there. And man, people would bring their soap, they'd have their bathing suits on, and there'd be 100 of us lathering up our hair, dunking ourselves in the water. Well, I felt so bad for the people who were like went there for their family vacation, because all the suds and foam started to go to the store up to the shore. And I seen the look on some people's face in horror, like, oh my gosh, hey, throw me the soap. Boop. That was me included. I'd have my hair all lathered up because that was the only water we had. Say amen. Well, what was kind of neat, we had one pump. And what do you do after you brush your teeth? Don't you spit it out? How many swallow that? No, you normally spit it out, true? Well, there was this girl, I was brushing my teeth in the morning. Now, I'm dressed like everybody else. I'm brushing my teeth and got the water. Well, this girl came up and she was really prim and proper. And I could tell that she's never, ever camped. And she's on the other side of the pump and I could see her. I'm brushing my teeth and I looked up. And how you doing this morning? Good. She's brushing her teeth. And then it came to the dawn on her, I need to spit. And she's like this. She's looking around like, and then she goes, bleh. Just drops it out. Like, I've never done this before. Amen? But I want you to know, by the end of the week, she was looging like everybody else, all right? You learn to adapt. It's like being out and cooking, and if you drop the hot dog, and that's the only hot dog you got, you wipe that puppy off. Oh, somebody say amen. If that's all you got to eat, bless God, wash it off. The 3-second rules in apply, whatever that is. But if you're out in the desert, God knows they need water. He knows they need food. But I want you to trust it's me going to bring the provision. You may have great leadership, and that's good. God will work through. But it's God who ultimately brings the victory. True? Don't we got to keep him number one? Yes or no? Notice he's speaking. Must we bring water out of the rock? Yes. It shouldn't even be a debate. Yes. But not you. Notice it starts to draw attention to the leadership. And we can't do it. Now, I'm not here knocking Moses because I am no better. I don't even fall in the category. But the truth is that we've all had times where we do it our way and we think it's the Lord's way. Or what God's done before, he has to do it that way again. How many of those, a little child could come up here and prophesy and it could be the word of the Lord? It's not the age of the person, it's just a vessel being used. Good. Third struggle I've seen here with this area. Look at verse 12. Numbers 20, verse 12. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron and Moses, because you did not believe me. Notice unbelief is a penalty here. Now, he came and brought water out in Exodus 17, but let's face it, what if we were all gathered around the corner of the building? And God said this, Pastor Tom, I want you to speak to the rock. Speak to the foundation and water will come out. How many think that will take a step of faith? You got everybody looking, waiting, and wanting water. And the Bible says, because of unbelief, you struck it. Moses needed to do this. Lord, you got to come through here. But I'm going to do what you said. Water, come forth. That he could have been just as blown away. Dude, that's awesome. And then all the people would have went, man, look what God did by that spoken word. What can God do through your spoken word? How many times have he said, just speak to that situation. You have not because you ask not. It's prime example to hear. Look at verse 12. And the Lord spoke on him because you did not believe me. The penalty of unbelief is this. He's not going to be able to lead them into the promised land. What a bummer. Can you imagine wandering 40 years out here, dealing with all of this, having the commands, all the instruction, getting all the things for the tabernacle, and now you can't even enter into the promised land yourself? That would be hard to take, wouldn't it? Could you say, oh Lord, you're being unfair? Or would it be, you know what? I didn't do what you said, Lord. This is the punishment for that. This is the payment for that. Now, don't get me wrong. He got a chance to see it. He did. God took him up on top of the mountain. As far as you can see, that's what I'm going to give to your descendants. And the Bible says this, that the Lord buried Moses. He died there. And if you look in the New Testament, when Jesus was transfigured, who appeared? Moses and Elisha. So it wasn't like God didn't give him a chance to see what was going on. But the truth is that because of his action, because of unbelief, he couldn't enter into the promised land. Joshua was going to take that next generation. When people play with God, hear me on this. When people play with God in their salvation, when they play in unbelief, it is a fearful thing to be in that arena. Because what you're saying is that I'm going to trust myself for my own salvation, what you're going to do in my life instead of trusting in him. Oh, I can go down that road. Somebody say unbelief. Look at verse 12. It says this, and the Lord spoke unto Aaron and Moses, because you did not believe me, to hallow me or holy me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I've given them. By striking that rock, Christ was already struck. The rock was already struck. You're supposed to speak to the rock. But your unbelief has nullified now you being able to go over. Just like it did for every single person who wouldn't go into the promised land. The same unbelief. Is God being unfair? No. Unbelief is something that we as believers need to move away. People who die and go to hell will have unbelief working in their life when God's given them a measure of faith. Hear me on this. Moses' failure joined him with the people that were rebellion against God. And that's a hard stance. But God isn't unrighteous. Picture this. It'd be like, I want you to speak to that area, but then you go ahead and do something different. How many think it's pretty severe? Yeah. But God isn't unrighteous. As leadership, there's responsibility that you must follow. The failure of Moses was the same as the unbelief of Israel. And that's the seriousness of it. Aaron was no different. Notice in that verse in 12, "You didn't hallow me in front of Israel." Aaron's whole job as the high priest was to give glory to the Lord, to sanctify them. So he's just as guilty of being there. When it comes to leadership, God holds him in a higher standard and a more accountability. I shared with the first service, I do not do this job because it's a job. It's a calling. It is a calling. And I do all that I can to be sanctified before I appear before this desk. Because it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. I don't take it lightly. I'm being serious. I'm not a hireling. I'm called according to His purpose. I may not be the greatest pastor in the world, but I try to love people. I try to be an example to the flock. I do. Somebody say God's good. Amen? Look at verse 10. The fourth struggle I see here is that he struck that rock in the heat of passion. In verse 10, he says this, "I gathered together the assembly before the rock." And he said, "Hear now, you rebels. Must we bring water out of the rock?" How about this? "You stiff-necked people. Must we bring water out of the rock?" Now, he was upset when they made an idol and he came down with the Ten Commandments. What did he do with those commandments? He broke the tablets. And now he's saying to you, rebels, must we? No, the Lord wants to do it. You need to be out of the equation. But sometimes in the heat of passion, you'll do things. He's going to strike the rock twice when God said, speak to it. And now he's going to call out the congregation. All they want is water. It became a strife situation. I'm serious. A strife situation. I'll get to that in a minute. How many of us, we need to be obedient to the Lord? And believe me, I'm not trying to jam Moses and Aaron. How many would have done it too? It takes faith to believe God's spoken word. And it doesn't matter who you are, or how long you've served the Lord, or how much God has done through your life. If He says do it this way, you need to do it that way. Somebody say amen. Look at verse 12. "And the Lord spoke to Aaron and Moses, because you did not believe me, nor holy me or hallow me in the eyes of Israel, therefore you will not. You will not enter in." It's like this, the children of Israel, it's now there's unrest, they're already stirred up, they already want water, and when you're thirsty and hungry, you'll do some incredible things. And if you're a mom or dad and your kids are hungry, you'll do incredible things to get water and food to your kids. You'll go without to feed them, let alone a million plus people before you. They need this, and God knows it too. He wanted to teach Israel that God will be there. He will help you. He will comfort you. And Moses and Aaron, your job is to show them me the way I am. I've told you to speak to it and walk by faith that the water can flow. And what I appreciate about Moses is that he didn't have a pity party here. He didn't say, "Oh Lord, you're being unfair. One mistake and now I've blown it. I don't get to go." He understood and accepted the responsibility that his job was to walk by faith and not by sight. And he accepted, "Lord, whatever you do, amen. If I don't get to go in there, let me see it." And God, okay, I'll let you see the land. And let me say this to you. How many of you would like to be buried by the Lord? I mean, that's a pretty good privilege. God come and bury you. When you get into the book of Jude, it says that the devil disputed over the body of Moses. He didn't like it either. But how many of us, God's able to take care of you? I wonder if he got up on top of the mountain, God showed him all around and appeared to him. He just went poof. I don't know. No one's seen the Lord and lived. But how many of us that he had a relationship? It wasn't like his relationship with the Lord failed. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? Look at verse 12. Notice you did not believe me or holy me in the eyes of the children of Israel. It mattered to the congregation what Moses did. And now before the eyes of the children of Israel, they saw water come out because Moses struck the rock and not speak to the rock. So it gives the people, and I've seen this with a lot of ministers, a lot of pastors, a lot of teachers, and a lot of churches, when they don't teach the people the right word of God, and they begin to believe some things that are not even scriptural. Fairy tales, and like what somebody said before, or no proof about it, and whole congregations don't believe. I know Christians, I know personal Christians who don't believe there's even a hell. Oh, God will never send anybody there. The people that die that don't know him will just be annihilated, they'll be gone. That is not the truth. Jesus wouldn't even preach to those who are disobedient there. Now, what about those pastors that don't teach their people right? Do you think the Lord's just going to wink at sin when people go headlong into hell? It's serious business, kingdom business. And I'll share this with you, church. In the next few months, the Lord's going to bring some serious messages that we get back to the fear of the Lord. I'm not talking about being afraid of Him, but the fear of the Lord in our hearts, that we don't want to sin. We want to live for God. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. How many of us that there's holiness there? Now, He's loving, don't get me wrong. But man, we need to serve Him with the way He wants to be served, not the way we think He should be served. Is this a good message today?
Yeah.
The sixth struggle I saw was this. Is that the place that they were at had to be renamed. Instead of the place where there's the water of life, it was called the water of strife. Meribah, look at verse 13. And the water was called Meribah. Because the children of Israel contended with the Lord and didn't holy Him. Instead of being called the water of life, it was called the water of strife. That was Meribah. By Moses and Aaron's disobedience, it changed the whole arena. It changed the landscape. Even the name of the place had to be changed because they contended with the Lord. When there's strife and division, I want you to know there's every work of the evil. Don't you wish Moses would have done this? Water, come forth. Man, that is flat awesome. Can you believe that water's coming? He should have been just as blown away as the other people. That would have brought all the glory and attention upon God and not upon them and their action. That's what God wanted. You didn't make me holy before their eyes. Now, they weren't big sinful people, but He needed to be number one in this situation. It's no different today. God needs to be number one in this situation. That's good preaching today. All of us can do that. It's like, you know what? Well, the church isn't going to be blessed unless I'm here. The church isn't going to be blessed. I was at a church for years. And when the pastor took over this fellowship, the lady that used to play the organ, she would always come late. Always. That the service was ready to go. She was the instrument. The whole congregation had to wait till her. So she got up. Here's what she would do. She'd walk down the aisle. Strut down there, open it up, and sit and start to play. Then we could start. And I remember talking with the pastor. I was there about 2 weeks in that, with a new pastor. I said, listen, pastor, I'm not here to tell you how to run your congregation, but here's the deal. That's wrong. It's disruptive, and no one should wait for somebody to start this service. He goes, well, what do you think? Here's what I would think. Dump that keyboard or that organ. I'll rip it out in an hour. I did. He said, go ahead, take it out. She comes late next week, she ain't got nothing to play. I've already spoken to her. I've already mentioned, service starts at this time. I don't want you to be a distraction. I've already spoken to her twice, even before you talked to me. Because this was an issue before you came to this church. How many knows he just needed somebody to stand with him? I went out there, I disconnected all this stuff, I loaded it up, we gave it away. The following week, she came in late. There was a keyboard up on the platform and somebody else was playing it. She came in and did this. There was no more keyboard there. Service doesn't wait for you. Neither is it predicated on your ability. Are you with me? Well, she got ticked off. She said, God isn't going to move in this church because I'm not playing. How many think that's pretty bold? How many think it's like, that shouldn't even happen? We shouldn't even have these conversations. She's all irate, red face, da-da-da, I'm leaving, I'm not coming back. You're all saying things that the pastor thinks. Somebody say amen. Amen. Then your heart isn't right. And it moved on from there. And you know what? The services were great. It'd been nice if she was there. Well, it's no different with Moses. Moses, I love you, bro. I just wanted you to speak to the rock. So all the nation can look, it's not by your effort, but by mine. That they know I love them. You've called them rebels. Do I got to bring forth water? Like it's some deed or some duty. Yes, you need to bring forth the water, and I'm going to do it. Say amen. Now, I'll give Moses a lot of grace. You had a whole lot of people walking in unbelief. True. They were stiff-necked, no doubt about it. I'm sure it was frustrating. But we can never let our frustration dictate our actions. Sometimes we need to take a step back and go, Lord, I'm just going to speak to it and not take it in my own hands. Somebody needs to say amen. How many times have we taken it in our own hands? And it's good intentions. Lord, let me do it your way. If I'd have done it your way, you know what? We could have avoided a whole lot of stuff. Amen? But it also did this. It put God on the spot too. Well, you told me to speak to it. Now it's totally up to you. Are you with me? It's easier when you walk by faith than to hope it'll work if you do it in your own effort. Because if Moses would have just spoke, he could have just relaxed. And now it's up to you, Lord. You know they want water. We need to, and I need some too. It's up to you to work. Instead of, you rebels, give me that rock. Wham, wham, water flows out. Then God goes, Moses, you can't do that. You didn't make me holy before the people. Now it's a place of strife. It's Meribah. And because of your unbelief, I'm sorry, you can't go into the promised land. Man, what serious consequence. How many want to live for the Lord? Now think about this. What about the people who end up in hell because they would not believe? I don't like that provision. I want to do it my own way. One day you'll see that you missed. And I'm preparing a message on hell itself. And it's going to be one of the most in-depth messages I've ever brought to this congregation on that topic alone. And in just a small study, I'll give you a little sample. You don't mind that, do you? John Bevere said this, that sulfur dioxide is one of the only smells and chemical reactions to things that your body can never get used to. Like, let me, for instance, I've ministered to people who actually lived in garbage dumps. And the smell is so atrocious, but you can get accustomed to even being in an environment like that if you're there long enough. You don't even know that you have the smell on you. But sulfur dioxide, the body will never, ever get used to that. Can you imagine breathing that every day? The Bible says every breath comes from the Lord. Even breath is a gift of God. Hell will be like this. How many ever had asthma before, a loss of breath? That's how people breathe in hell, in sulfur dioxide. You'll gasp for every breath you ever take. And what you'll breathe in is sulfur dioxide for the rest of your... That's just that portion. Hear me on this. The Bible says death one day will be forgotten. That in hell, you'll be isolated in the flames by yourself, and nobody will remember who you are. It won't be like, hey, Jim, how you feeling today? No, you'll be all by yourself in the torment. And you will be forgotten. Hear me on this. It doesn't matter if you're a celebrity. It doesn't matter how popular you are there. It won't matter because nobody will remember your name. And you'll never be able to talk to anyone. And hear me on this. You'll never be able to tell somebody you're here. You're gone. It's silent at the grave. No one wants to go there. Somebody say amen. Amen. And we're going to fast and pray ahead of time for these messages that the fear of the Lord begins to set in. God doesn't wink at sin. It's serious business. He says, I take no delight in the wicked who perish. None. I mean, like, ooh, Lord Jesus. I mean, it was a serious business. I mean, living for God, serious. It was so serious for Moses to do it right. We've all blown it. We have. But we need to do it right. And in this day, if God says speak to it, then we need to just speak to it. We need to be obedient and follow Him to a greater measure. And then God get the glory for things that are done. Amen? Somebody say amen. Well, let me back up to my story with the organ. After that week, the pastor, he said, look, thanks for standing with me. I didn't know really what to do in this situation. He wasn't a weak person either. He just needed somebody to stand with him. It was amazing how it shifted the move of God too. That if we take our eyes off of man, we'll receive a whole lot more. Now, leadership's important, don't get me wrong. But how many of us we need to keep our eyes on the Lord? That means your daily walk, God can still provide for you. True? Ask Him, Lord, what do I need to do in this situation? Give me wisdom. God may unlock something in prayer. Do this. Be obedient here. Sometimes, keep your mouth shut. That may be instruction from the Lord. Lord, you work this out. How many of us, God will give what you need according to it? Sometimes it's easier to get, oh, you rebels, oh, strike that rock in Jesus' name. You're all fired up with it when you needed just to walk by faith. Because of your unbelief, you can't enter in. It's no different today. Unbelief will never enter in. Amen? I'm going to close with this. You enjoy this morning? I'm here having a sober time saying, Lord, I want to do it right. Amen. Amen. I don't blame God. It's just the way it is. Listen, even the best men will have some faults and failures. But we need to learn from them and not continue in them. Listen to me. God does not judge as man does concerning sin. Forgiveness only comes from the one who is capable of doing so. God can give second chances if there is repentance. So Lord, I want to walk in that area. Amen? Because I've had 80 chances, 100 chances, 1,000 chances. Anybody with me? How many are glad that you're saved? How many are glad somehow God reached you in your stubbornness? Somebody say amen. When we look at our family, we look at our upbringing, because we could be just out in the world just like everyone else. Thanks be to God for His grace. But Lord, I want to do it right. And I also want to do it that all the people can see, Lord, that was You. Not by my effort or by my power, but by Your might, says the Lord. Amen? Israel was a type of the church. It was also a witness to every nation that no nation had the God like Israel. Hallelujah. There's no God like the God that's the great God Jehovah over the church today. Amen. Enjoy this morning. Amen. I want to ask you here, how many ever done something in haste and you wish you wouldn't have done that? Maybe you said something where you didn't. Amen. How many ever had good intentions but you really weren't walking in faith in the area? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. How many here, be honest, that witness kind of affected other people? By not just doing what you need to do. And it was a simple thing, but you just, oh, I could have been a better example there. Yeah. Amen, I'm with you. But how many want to get it right? Amen? And the last here, how many want to be men and women enough that whatever the consequence was, you shoulder it and say, you know, I'm going to get better, but Lord, forgive me on that. I appreciate that about Moses. He didn't have a pity party and blame God because he couldn't go in. But God still gave him grace about it. So God will still do it also. But let's get it right. Amen. We're living in that day and age, I feel. Yeah. We need to speak what is right and do what is right. And like I shared the first service, I'm tired of the church, I'm tired, not the church, I'm tired of the world telling me how I need to live. Yeah. I'm living for God. As for me and my house, I'm serving the Lord, period. And we need to encourage others. If they're out of fellowship, just speak a word to them. You can't make them. You can't change them. But Satan, you need to get back in the house of God. You need to get back into fellowship. We need to do it. Let that word be released. Hallelujah. Amen. If you would, lift your hands towards heaven. Father, change us. Lord, the example that is set forth, Lord, let us just really, Lord God, show you in the most powerful way. That God, what you say we need to do. Lord, let us learn from this biblical example. You said, speak to the rock, not hit it, speak to it. Lord, let us follow good instructions. And Lord, the times that we've taken things in our own hands, Lord Jesus, work in us. We want you to receive all the glory. We want you to be holy in other people's eyes too. Father, I pray a blessing on this congregation. Lord, go with each one in strength and power and bring us back in that appointed day. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you for your time this morning. Have a great week. Remember, next Sunday, it's 10:30.